There are so many things that I have enjoyed about this Christmas season already. I suppose this is true of every Christmas season. I loved our children's Christmas program. It was doubly special for me this year because I had a grandchild involved in that, and so that just makes it a little bit added special. I enjoyed last Sunday night's Christmas party, meeting Babylon Bob and all of those different things that were involved there. I really enjoy this service. I do every year. I grew up in a tradition where we had Christmas Eve church service every year, Christmas Eve. You know, and that was what just kind of part of how life was. And so it's just a special time for me, a little bit nostalgic, I suppose, but just a time really to turn our attention to the joys of Christmas. I do love Christmas cookies. I normally tell people I'm a salt person, not a sweets person. But when it comes to molasses cookies and, Christmas cookies, I can find room for those. Some people really enjoy making the cookies. I enjoy eating the cookies, okay? I enjoy the lights, the decorations, even here in our auditorium, around in our community, in our neighborhoods. Again, the joy for me is not in putting them up. It's just taking them in, that's just part of our kind of our Christian time, our Christian traditions. Of course, I enjoy the family times, and we have a pew with a bunch of Schlegels in it, a pew with a bunch of Sherwins in it, other families coming in. We will have our whole family at some point tomorrow. Everybody will be together, and that's a real blessing. And, just the preciousness of family time that many of us are able to enjoy at the Christmas season. Of course, there's the food and the various festivities, and I really enjoy the warmth and friendliness that you find among people in general this time of year. I make a good number of trips to Home Depot, probably more than once a week on the average, sometimes multiple times in a day because it is just about 400 yards from my house. But I find usually when you're checking out or whatever and people are feeling a little bit awkward about what to say, and if you look at them and you smile and you say Merry Christmas, you get a nice warm smile and a strong Merry Christmas in return. And, I just appreciate that little sense of warmth that kind of comes into this season, against the backdrop of the busyness of life. And then I love preaching from the birth narratives in Matthew and Luke, and there are many, many passages in the scriptures that touch on the birth of Jesus. But there's all these things that we enjoy. And I suppose it's easy for us to kind of sentimentalize Christmas and maybe kind of forget the fact that the miraculous birth of Jesus is perhaps the single most stupendous event in all history. And that is because Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Someone has said, God did not send Christ to us. God came to us in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is God in flesh, God who came to dwell among us and ultimately to save us from our sins. And folks, I trust that glorious truth just really almost overwhelms your soul day by day, even though we've heard it many, many times. So the theme of our program tonight has been Emmanuel. If you search your Bibles from cover to cover, you'll find the name Emmanuel appears three times. Twice in the book of Isaiah in chapter 7, again in chapter 8, and then once in Matthew. And really those are connected because Matthew is hearkening back to what was going on in that section of Isaiah. And I want to read four verses from Matthew chapter 1. So if you take a look here, we're going to start in verse 20. Of Matthew chapter 1, and the context here is Joseph has just learned that his espoused wife, his fiance, is expecting a child. He knows he's not the father, and he's contemplating what should he do about this? What's the right thing to do? How should he deal with this? And verse 20 says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now the text I want us to just spend a few minutes on tonight is the last verse that we read there, not surprisingly, Matthew 1:23. And I want to read that verse again, and in fact, I'd like us to read it all together. So we'll say the reference, and then we'll read the verse together. Matthew 1:23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Let's have a word of prayer here. Father, we're thankful for this Christmas season as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. And I pray, Father, that you would use your word this evening just to encourage us afresh. And if there would be any under the sound of my voice, whether here in this auditorium or at home listening on the live stream, if there's any who has not trusted Jesus as their Savior from sin, I pray that your word would so challenge them that they would cry out to him in saving faith even this night. We just ask your blessing as we spend these few minutes in your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So one of the principles, I guess, of Bible study that my wife and I have both long advocated, I don't remember, I think we got it from one of our former pastors, but he would say, you need to ask questions of the text. In other words, as you're reading the scripture, don't just kind of read it along and move on through it, but pause and ask yourself, what does that mean? Who's that talking about? Why is this the way? What does it mean? Why did he say that and not this? And ask questions of the text, and then search the scripture there to see what answers come from it. And let the Spirit of God, you know, kind of bring those things to crystallization in your mind. So what I'm going to do tonight is just ask four simple questions of this text. And the answers are straightforward enough. The first question is, what does Emmanuel mean? Now, you've already heard that answer probably a dozen times already in this service. Whether, I think when Jason introduced things in some of the songs in different ways, we've read it a couple of times. So that answer has been given to us. The text itself makes it clear. The name Emmanuel, the Hebrew name Emmanuel, means God with us. Now, I suppose that we could understand that in a number of different ways, but let me suggest that the point of verse 23 is this. It is a declaration that the baby whose birth we celebrate at Christmas is God. Two verses earlier, we're told that his given name is Jesus, which is also a significant name, means Jehovah is salvation. And we're told Matthew there also tells us what that means. At the end of verse 21, he says, "For he shall save his people from their sins." That's why he's named Jesus. But he is also Emmanuel, because that is the essence of who he is. He is God, God with us. God who took upon him human flesh so that he could live with us, so that he could die for us. Now, the Gospel of John doesn't include a birth narrative, so to speak, the way that Matthew and Luke do. But John does make a profound statement about the birth of Jesus. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, we read, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, many of you, I think, are familiar with why the word is capitalized in this verse. The reference from that word is to Jesus. At the beginning of John's gospel, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The same was in the beginning with God, always has been. "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And then verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh." So this one who has always been, this one who's with God, the one who was God, came to this earth and was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And those two words, "only begotten," translates a Greek word that means really one of a kind. Unique one. No one like him. There's never been a birth like Jesus. There never will again be a birth like Jesus. Yes, a human baby was born. But that human baby was the divine, eternal Son of God who has always been, who then became also a man for us, fully God, fully man. Earlier in our service, we sang the hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, written by Charles Wesley. Most of you know I'm kind of a fan of Charles Wesley's hymns. I find them to be substantive, challenging, encouraging. And the last half of stanza two, and you sang this, is veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail, the incarnate deity. Incarnate means just the one who has taken flesh. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel, God with us. Hark, the herald angels sing glory to the newborn King. Jesus is our Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. That's question one. Question number two, why must Emmanuel be interpreted? In other words, why does Matthew give this translation? Okay, our text says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And then he says, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, Jesus was born to a Jewish family in fulfillment of the Hebrew scriptures, of the Old Testament. And we've talked before, and we'll talk again, about just all the many prophecies of the coming Messiah, of the coming Deliverer, of the coming Savior, and they're all fulfilled in Jesus. And one of Matthew's purposes in writing this gospel is to write a message to Jewish people who are steeped in the Old Testament, who well understand what the name Emmanuel means. They know that it's there in Isaiah. They know that it means God with us. They understand that. But yet Matthew says here, I mean, he will frequently identify, this is so that it would be fulfilled what the prophet says. He's reminding his Jewish audience, these are things that you know. These are things that you have heard. But then here when he says Emmanuel, he says which being interpreted is God with us. And I think what Matthew is doing here is he's wanting to make sure that those who aren't Jewish, as most of us aren't, and those who don't know the meaning of the Hebrew word Emmanuel, as some of us may not, that we understand exactly what that angel was saying to Joseph. He was saying, this baby to be born, this one that's going to be named Jesus, this baby is God with us. He is Emmanuel. Lest there be any doubt, this is what it means. God with us. So folks, this is a message not just for the Jewish people. This is a message for anyone and everyone, even if you're not Jewish. That means it's a message for you, for every person under the sound of my voice. Maybe you're here in our services, you're for the first time ever. Maybe you're listening online and you've never watched a service from our church before. Maybe you're not very familiar with the teachings of the Bible. Maybe some of these words and terms, they don't immediately resonate with you. Well, like Matthew, I want to make it as clear as I can. God came to this earth in the person of Jesus. That's why Matthew adds the explanation, the interpretation, if you will, so that we would all know, so that we would all be clear that Jesus came for you. Jesus came for me. He came to save his people from their sins, not just his biological people, the Jews, but all who would come to him in saving faith. So that's question two. Now question three, who are they that will call him, that will call Jesus Emmanuel, right? Our text says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, it's interesting. Matthew's quoting from Isaiah chapter 7. So that was about 700 years earlier. And by the way, you know, I don't always do advertisements, but if you'll come back Sunday morning we're going to spend our time in Isaiah 7. And we're going to just sift through all the historical context and what was happening in the Old Testament that led then to this statement that Matthew quotes in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. But let me just for this evening look at the one verse that he does quote. Okay, the verse he's quoting is Isaiah 7:14. It says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, there's no they in that verse. You know, the idea is a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And then kind of the implication is, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. You know, and God certainly had revealed those things to Joseph and to Mary. But in this New Testament context, Matthew says, they shall call his name Emmanuel. So who are they? You know, we tend to talk about them a lot. They said we had to do this. You know, I remember I spent a lot of years in the Navy. And, you know, and complaining sailors would always be talking about, they said we need to do this. Well, they said we have to do that. You know, and I would challenge people, well, who's they? And I would challenge the young officers into particular, you know what? You're they. You need to stop referring to they. You need to start talking about we, okay? You're part of it now. You're part of the organization. You're part of the leadership. So it's important for us to think about who's they rather than just kind of this loose, vague reference to they. So who is the they here that are going to call his name Emmanuel? I would suggest this. They is not the skeptics who say there is no God. They're not going to say Jesus is God with us. It's not those who say that Jesus was, you know, kind of a noble human figure in history, but you know, just kind of an important guy, but nothing special. They're not going to say he's God with us. It's not the Muslims who say that Jesus was a great man and a great prophet, but not God. They're not saying he's Emmanuel. It's not those who say he is somehow maybe better than a man, a little bit above a man, but not quite God. That would be like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not going to say he's God with us. So who is they? I want to suggest that they includes anyone who is convinced on the basis of the scriptures that Jesus is God. Fully God, fully man. Not a mixture of the two, but both at the same time, perfectly united in one sinless being, and he came to dwell among us. And we, as the disciples say, can behold his glory. And he came to offer himself as the perfect, infinite sacrifice for our sins. And he could only accomplish that as being both God and man. So they that call him Emmanuel is anyone who believes that that is true. So here's my question for you. Are you part of the they? Do you believe what the Bible says about Jesus? Have you trusted him as your Savior from sin? Last question I want us to think about, and then we'll be done. What are the implications of God being with us in the person of Jesus? And I want to suggest that Jesus is the answer to every human need. He is God with us. We've heard testimonies tonight of how God strengthened to sustain and was with, you know, Brother Sherwin and at Hessen along the way. His presence, very real to them. And God with us is the answer to our needs. It's the answer to the need of loneliness. You think about how God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's the answer to our fears. Think about how many times Jesus says, fear not, don't be afraid. Why? Because I'm here with you. He's the answer to our need for protection as our good shepherd. We're familiar with Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. God with us. He's the answer to our uncertainty as the light of the world, as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. He shows us the way. He leads us in that way. He's the answer to our need for provision. He's the bread of life. He's the answer to our sin problem as our Savior. He's with us as the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection, and the life. Knowing him is the key, is really the essence of eternal life. And you know, Jesus said that when he left this earth, he would send another comforter like himself to be with us. If you know him as your Savior, he lives in you by his Spirit. Galatians 2:20 says, Christ lives in me. He's with us. So dear person, you know, my appeal to you is do you know Jesus personally? have you acknowledged that He is the Son of God? He is Emmanuel, God with us, that He came to save you from your sins as Jesus. Jehovah is salvation, the promised Savior of all. And if you have, He then is the answer to your every need, to your every burden, to your every concern. God with us, Emmanuel. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. That's who Jesus is. He's the Savior of all who will come to Him in faith. When John Wesley died in 1791, just before he passed away, he roused from his sleep long enough to open his eyes and exclaim, "The best of all is, God is with us." And then he closed his eyes and passed on into eternity, into the presence of that same God who he knew and declared was with him. Emmanuel is our security even in the face of death. He's the one into whose presence we go when, like Wesley, we come to that moment of death. And that, folks, that's the amazing message of Christmas. Jesus came as God to be with us and to save us from our sins. And I wonder, is He your Emmanuel? Have you trusted Him to save you? If you have questions or concerns or doubts about that, I'd love to answer those questions. You just let me know, let one of our folks know. We'd love to show you from the Scriptures that Jesus indeed can be, wants to be. He is Emmanuel. He wants to be your Emmanuel. Father, we're thankful for your word. I just pray that you administer the truth of the Scriptures in our hearts tonight. I pray for any who need to trust Jesus as their Savior, they would do so even at this moment, just bowing their head, admitting their need, and calling upon Christ to save them. Bless as we bring our service here shortly to a conclusion now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.